Chapter 8. The lion's audience chamber was quiet, occupied only by the Primarch and his seneschal. The lion was seated in his throne, betraying no sign of his thoughts or mood, as impassive as a statue. Corswain stood at the Primarch's right, trying his best to conceal his own misgivings at the emerging situation. As time silently ticked past, he could no longer hold his tongue. "My liege, I do not question your judgment in this matter, but I must admit to my own ignorance. We have secured Perdita's Ultima and possess enough force to destroy the Death Guard outright, yet you invite their commander to a parley. I have an ill feeling about this, and to have the Iron Hands captain present at the same time seems counterproductive." The lion turned his head and regarded Corswain for a moment, his expression stern. "You are right not to question my judgment, Cor." The Primarch's lips formed a thin smile, lightening his demeanour, if only a little. "However, my reason for this meeting is straightforward. Before I decide on our following course of action, I must ascertain for myself the extent to which the knowledge of Perdita's secret has spread. Though he probably does not realise it, I remember that Captain Typhon took part in our original expedition here. He was just a company captain, I recall. That he knows of T'Chulka's existence is unsurprising, but I sense that his agenda is not as transparent as it would first appear."
"And Captain Madoa, my liege?"
"His presence here is an oddity, little brother. It might be chance that he intercepted the Death Guard attack, but coincidence does not sit well with me as an explanation. I must know why he came to Perdita's and on whose authority he claims to act. The Iron Hands are leaderless, my brother Ferus slain at Istvan, and I thought his legion rendered inconsequential. It appears that I am wrong, and so I must have answers to questions that nag at me." The comm piece in Corswain's ear chimed, and he listened for a moment to the communique from Captain Tragen.
"Our guests will be here imminently, my liege," Corswain said.
"Good," replied the lion, directing his gaze back to the double doors. A few seconds later, those doors hissed open, revealing Tragen and a guard of 30 Dark Angels. In their midst were Captains Typhon and Madoa, the first easily seen in his huge suit of Terminator armour, a head taller than the surrounding warriors. At first glance, Typhon's armour appeared in poor repair, much patched and stained, the white of the Death Guard mottled in places with oil and battle damage. A moment's further inspection, however, revealed to Corswain that the Terminator's suit was poorly maintained, only on a cosmetic level. Typhon moved freely, every step accompanied by a wheeze of servos and a hiss of fibre bundles. A short blade hung at his belt, and in his hands he held his scythe-like man-reaper. Madoa followed behind the Death Guard commander, his black and silver armour showing signs of fresh paint and polish. His black cloak was tattered at the edges, and a fresh scar was healing on his brow. Corswain had expected someone older. Madoa's fresh features, a counterpoint to the seals and marks of honour that adorned the chestplate and shoulder guards of his suit. Like Typhon, he was still armed, with a power sword at his waist and a twin-barreled combi bolter slung on a strap over his shoulder.
"Thank you, Captain Tragen," said the lion. "You may leave us."
Corswain turned in surprise, but his Primarch's attention was fixed on the two newcomers.
"My liege?"
Tragen could not stop the question before he spoke it.
"Please return to your duties, Captain," said the lion, keeping his tone affable. "I am certain that our guests refuse to surrender their weapons on principle only. I would expect no less from officers of the Legionis Astartes. They would not be so foolish as to test me on my own ship."
With a glance at Typhon, Tragen nodded. The Dark Angels fell in behind their commander as he departed. The lion gestured for Typhon and Madoa to approach.
"Am I to be your prisoner?" snapped Typhon, his voice echoing from the external speakers of his suit. "If you are to execute me out of hand, then do so and be done with it."
"You will address me properly, Commander," the lion replied, showing no anger at the Death Guard's accusation. "I have yet to decide your fate. Do not give me cause for upset."
Typhon said nothing for a few seconds, subjected to an unblinking stare from the Primarch. Under the force of that gaze, he eventually nodded and slowly lowered to one knee.
"Lord Johnson, Primarch of the First," said Typhon, "forgive my impertinence."
The
Perhaps, said the lion.
He waved a hand for Typhon to stand.
What is your purpose in coming to Perdiccas, Commander?
I'm sure you already know it, Lord Johnson, said Typhon.
And still, I wish it heard in your own words.
The warp device, Lord Johnson, Typhon said, glancing at Captain Medoa. I came to Perdiccas to claim possession of it.
Interesting.
The War Master desires this device for reasons that you should know well. It is inopportune that you should seek to thwart his plans in this way. He will take it badly.
Horus will take it badly? Snarled Corswain, stepping forwards. The Dark Angels do not answer to Horus.
In time they will, I'm sure, Typhon replied smoothly, looking briefly at the Seneschal before returning his attention to the lion. Your opposition to the Night Lords is expected but unnecessary. It is an irrelevance made personal by mutual antagonism. What is Thrawas to the Dark Angels?
They are the Emperor's worlds, and we will protect them, said Corswain, laying a hand on the hilt of his sword. Treachery does not go unpunished.
Be quiet, little brother,
said the lion, shifting in his throne to rest an elbow on the sculpted arm, chin lowered onto his closed fist, eyes still fixed upon Typhon.
Let the commander speak freely.
I have nothing more to say, Lord Johnson, said the Death Guard.
Your threat is meaningless, commander. What you say is irrelevant. But what you do not say is so loud that it deafens me.
Typhon started to speak, but the Primarch silenced him with a raised hand.
You make no mention of my brother Mortarion, your Primarch. Do you still fight for the Death Guard, Commander, or do you pursue an ambition at odds with your lord? If Mortarion desired the device you mention, he has the resources of an entire legion at his disposal. Why would he send such a small flotilla to claim such a precious prize? No. Mortarion is not the hand that guided you here, Commander.
Straightening, the lion rested his hands on his knees and leaned forwards.
Similarly, you invoke the name of the War Master, but it is not Horus's will that dispatched you to Perdiccas. Perhaps, as you say, I am an irrelevance to my traitorous brother, but that does not mean Horus would wish to pit his sons against mine in open conflict. He destroyed 3 legions at Istvan, but my Dark Angels were not amongst them. Kurz, Mortarion, Horus. None of them desire full-scale war with my legion, and for good reason.
In reply, Typhon was silent, perhaps regretting his words, or fearing that further argument would only serve to betray him more deeply. The lion moved his dark gaze to the Iron Hands commander.
And you, Captain Medoa, what purpose brought you here?
To secure Perdiccas Ultima against the traitors, Lord Johnson, replied the captain, looking across to Typhon. We arrived just in time, it appears.
And who set you upon this purpose, Captain?
We were part of the 406 Expeditionary Fleet, Lord, far from Istvan, when the muster was called. When we learnt of the tragedy that had befallen our legion, we did what we could, securing such worlds as we had newly brought to compliance, fighting those traitorous forces that we encountered. 6 months ago, we were intercepted by an Ultramarines fleet near Ajarnas, and received summons that Lord Gilliman was gathering all loyal forces at Ultramar. We answered the call, and later the Primarch dispatched us to Perdiccas, fearing the traitors might attempt to seize the device held by the Mechanicum.
The lion accepted this with a slow nod, deep in thought.
And now that you have learnt of Perdiccas' secret, what is your intent?
Asked the Primarch.
It is not safe to leave the warp engine here, Lord. It is too powerful to risk its misuse, and so I believe the best course of action is to relocate it to the safety of Macragg.
Indeed, said the lion, eyebrows arching high. You took that decision upon yourself.
Lord Gilliman had intimated that such a course might be necessary, Lord.
Fingers drumming quickly on the arm of his throne, the lion moved his gaze from one commander to the other and back again, before looking at Corswain.
When we have concluded this parley, send word to the captains, little brother. The fleet is to assume formation for the bombardment of Perdiccas Ultima.
There were outbursts from Typhon and Midoa, which fell on deaf ears.
"As you command, my liege," said Corswain.
"You cannot destroy the warp engine," said Midoa, taking a step forwards. "If its power can be harnessed, it could be the weapon that enables us to turn the tide on the traitors."
"You suppose too much, Captain," the Lion replied sharply. "I too received Gilliman's summons. I do not concur with his plans, and I would no more trust him with his engine than any servant of Horus. I consider Ultramar no safer place for this device than Perditus, and even if Gilliman does not use it for his own purposes, I cannot allow it to fall into the hands of the Emperor's enemies."
Typhon's laugh rang round the chamber as Midoa made further protest.
"Your good humour is misplaced, Commander,"
snapped the Lion, silencing Typhon's mirth and Midoa's arguments.
"I am of a mind to let you depart, Perditus, without the engine, so that you might take word of its destruction to whatever masters you wish to claim. However, slight me again, or dishonour my audience, and I will be content to allow your lieutenants to perform that errand in your stead."
Silence greeted this proclamation, and the Lion stood up, signalling that the audience was at an end.
"Perditus Ultima and its prize will be destroyed within hours. Tell my brothers that there is nothing for them here."